Well, at this time, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We're in verses 1 through 4 this morning. We are now halfway through our series in the book of Colossians. And at the very beginning of this series, we said that the letter of Colossians divides into two parts. It has two major themes. And the first half of the letter, chapters 1 and 2, focuses on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been focusing on in the first half of this series. And then the second half of the letter, chapters 3 and 4, introduces a new theme, the new life of the believer. And so the first half of the book is very heavy on doctrine, doctrinal teaching, and then the second half is very much focused on application. So we've already looked at the doctrinal foundation of Christ's person, Christ's work, who Jesus is, what he's done for us at the cross. Now for the rest of the letter, we get down to the practical nuts and bolts of it. And I'm hoping that you're already convinced of the value and the necessity of living a Christ-centered life. That's our major theme. Now we want to see, starting this Sunday and through the end of the series, how do you actually do that? What does the new life of the believer actually look like? Last week we looked at poor substitutes. We looked at some of the things that people try to put in the center of their lives instead of Christ. And now Paul goes full speed ahead with the real thing. And if the false teachers were wrong in their approach to the Christian life, then what is the right way? And that's what today's passage and the rest of the book of Colossians is all about. And as we'll see from today's passage, it all centers around being raised with Christ, raised with Christ. So we're in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. The Apostle Paul writes, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear God, take this word now. Holy Spirit, you inspired it. You ensured that it was recorded for our benefit. Now speak it into our hearts. Help us to grasp the wonderful truth of what it means to be raised with Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There are any number of directions that a person can look when they're trying to figure out how to live their life. Some people like to look forward, and so they're focused on their goals and their plans and everything that lies ahead. Other people look backwards, and they're always remembering the past, right? Stuck in the past and analyzing their past decisions and choices. Some people look down on other people in hopes of feeling better about themselves. While other people look around just to see what everyone else is doing. It's like, oh, okay, well, maybe that's what I should be doing. It's what everyone else is doing. But God gives you and me a much better way in our passage this morning. God says, don't look forward, don't look back, don't look down, don't look around. He says, look up. Look up, set your hearts and your minds on things above. Once again, we're going to see that this all revolves around your identification with Christ. We've been talking a lot about that. You're being united with Christ by faith. It all centers on Christ. Four times in these four verses, Paul names Christ by name. He is central, as always. So we've talked a lot in these past weeks about being united with Christ, that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are united with him by faith. You are united with him in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. And it's this third aspect of that that Paul really wants to focus on, this aspect of being raised with Christ. And when he talks about us being raised with Christ, he's not only talking about being raised with Christ to new life, in other words, raised as Jesus was raised from the dead, but he's also talking about us being raised with Christ to the heavenly places. In other words, when Paul talks about us being raised with Christ, he's not only talking about Christ's resurrection, but also Christ's ascension, his ascension to heaven. So how are we supposed to live now that we've been raised with Christ? I like the way William Hendrickson puts it. He sums it up this way. He said, as believers, we should be consistent in that we should live in conformity with the fact that we have been raised with Christ, who is our very life. You are meant for so much more than this world can ever give you. In the book of Colossians, and especially our passage today, it gives you a bigger picture, a higher goal to reach for. And it directs you to rise above the things of this world and to focus your hearts and your minds on eternal things. You have been raised with Christ, Paul says, and that changes everything. There's an outline in your bulletin if you want to follow along and the different points we'll be covering in the message today or to jot down some notes. But we begin with two commands for those who have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. So let's take a look at each of these two commands together. First of all, Colossians tells us, set your hearts on things above. Look at verse 1 with me now. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, the word that's translated set your hearts here, it's a single word in the Greek. It's a word which means to seek after something. It's the exact same word that we find in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. So when Paul tells you to set your hearts on something, he's talking about what you seek. He's saying, you're a Christian, so you have a new life and you have a new direction. You have a new goal. You're seeking new things. You no longer seek things down here on earth, but you are to set your heart on things above. These things above refers to heavenly things, to eternal things. Refers to the things of God rather than the things of man. The things above are those things that will last forever, in contrast with the temporary things of this world. Jesus said something very similar, once again, back in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, when he said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. You see, it's only temporary, the things of this earth. Rather, he said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is in heaven, what are you going to do? You're going to set your heart on things above, right? Because your heart will be where your treasure is. And that's what Paul is saying in Colossians 3:1. Paul says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Why do you seek the things above? Because that's where Jesus is. And you love Jesus. He is your treasure. He is your treasure in heaven. You hunger and thirst after Christ. You want to be with him, and he is above. And so you set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. To sit at the right hand was considered a place of honor. If you were sitting at the right hand of a king, that was a place of really, really high honor. If you're seated at the right hand of God, then that is the place of highest honor. And it is also the place of highest authority. And Jesus sitting at the right hand of God in the heavenly places means that Jesus reigns over all things. Jesus said this in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. And so to set your heart on things above, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, it's really just another way of saying Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord of my life. I love him. I want to be with him. I set my heart where he is, up in heaven. But the Bible tells us that this goes beyond Christ being seated in the heavenly realms. Because the Bible tells us not only is Jesus seated in the heavenly realms, but that you are sitting there with him. You might say, well, wait a second, Pastor. I'm sitting right here in a pew at Plantation Community Church. What do you mean I'm sitting in heaven with Jesus? Ephesians 2:6 says, God raised us up with Christ. Remember, this is all about being raised with Christ. God raised us up with Christ, not only for new life in Christ, he raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And that tells us that spiritually, this morning, you have been raised with Christ. You are sitting with him in the heavenly realms. That means that you have the high ground over the enemy. In any battle, in any conflict, the person with the high ground has the advantage, don't they? Well, you have been freed from Satan and from sin. You've been given the high ground in Christ, and you have authority in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. And all of this, once again, it goes back to the picture of your baptism. We saw this in Colossians chapter 2, in the doctrinal section, where Paul said, you were buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God. When you go under the water in baptism, it's a picture you're being buried with Christ, right? And when you come up out of the water, that's a picture that you are raised with Christ, that you've been given new life with Christ, a new direction, a new goal. As one person put it, we are now on the other side of the grave, and we are walking with Jesus. When you died with Christ, you cut off your connection to this old world. That's what going under the water is a symbol of. You go under the water, you're cut off from this world, right? But then when you come back out of the water and you are raised with Christ, you are connected to heaven in a whole new way. William Barclay puts it this way. He says, from now on, the Christian will view everything against the background of eternity and will no longer live as if this world was all that mattered. That's what this first command is all about. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. And then the second command is similar. Set your minds on things above. Look at verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And the word that's translated set your mind here is a word that means to think. That's all it means. It just means to think. But the way it's phrased here in the original language, it means to think constantly. To think constantly about something. And so if setting your heart on things above means having a new direction, a new goal, I'm seeking something new in my life, to set your minds on things above means having a new focus, something new to be thinking about constantly. I like the way another person put it. They said, you must not only seek heaven, you must also think heaven. Set your hearts on things above, you're seeking heaven. Set your minds on things above, think heaven. You may be living here on earth, but your mind is constantly in heaven. You've been raised with Christ. And so you have a new focus. You're constantly thinking about God and the things of God rather than the things of earth. Now, it's important that we're very clear here. When Paul talks about earthly things, he's not necessarily talking about sinful things. Some earthly things are sinful, but not all earthly things are sinful. That would be making the same mistake as the false teachers. Remember what we told you the false teachers at Colossae were teaching. They were teaching that anything physical, earthly, material was evil and wrong, and only the spiritual things were good. We don't want to make the same error they did. God created this world good. There are so many good things that are earthly things: food, friendship, family, God's beautiful creation. What a beautiful day today. The things that God has richly given to us to enjoy. And the sin is not in the earthly things themselves, but the sin is when you make them your focus, when you set your minds on earthly things rather than heavenly things, when you're all wrapped up with everything to do with this world, that God is out of the picture. Paul writes in Philippians 3, he said, their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. You may have heard the saying, that person's so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good. I don't like that saying. Because I think the greater danger is that you can be so earthly-minded that you're no heavenly good. And when you set your minds on things above, that is not going to pull you away from helping other people here on earth. In fact, it's going to do just the opposite. In fact, you must be heavenly-minded if you want to do the most earthly good. When Paul says set your minds on things above, he's not saying ignore this world, ignore all the people around you and just sit there thinking about heaven all day. It's not what he's saying. That's that false teaching of dualism once again. Rather, we are to view this world through heaven's lens. Everything we see here, we see through heaven. Our minds are focused on things above. And when we do that, then we begin to view all of the things and all of the people around us in a whole new way. And we will actually be of greater service and greater usefulness to God and other people in this world. When you set your minds on things above, it will revolutionize your thinking. You will think good and right and worthy thoughts instead of focusing on really so much of the garbage that we often put up with down here. Paul writes this in Philippians 4:8. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That's setting your mind on things above, the things of God. And when you set your minds on things above, you're also going to view the people around you very differently. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 15 and 16. "Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." And when your focus is on heaven, you will view each person around you in the light of eternity. Every person you meet every day is either going to spend eternity with God in heaven or eternity separated from God in hell. And that is going to make a difference when you're focused in that way. It will make a difference in how you relate to people, how you talk with them, how you pray for them. We view no one from a worldly point of view, Paul says. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." So where's your heart this morning? What do you seek? Where is your mind this morning? What do you think about? Don't let the world influence your thinking, but let your mind be transformed by Jesus Christ and his word. Let your mind be soaked with scripture and with thoughts of Christ. Those are our commands this morning. Since you've been raised with Christ, you've got a new direction. You've got a new focus. Set your hearts and your minds on things above. Now, those are two pretty big commands, aren't they? I mean, that changes everything in our lives. And so Paul follows them up for us by giving us three reasons why you should do these things, three motivations. And to help make it easy to remember them, one comes from your past, one is in your present, and one is awaiting you in the future. So a past reason, a present, and a future. Let's take a look at all three of these now. First of all, the motivation from your past is that you died with Christ. That's what it says at the beginning of verse 3, "for you died." Three short words, but they carry a world of meaning. Christ not only died for you, but you died with him. And if you're a Christian, that is something that has already happened to you. It is a completed action in the past. When you put your faith in Christ, you died. As Pastor Warren Wiersbe writes, we are dead and alive at the same time. Dead to sin and alive to Christ. Wiersbe also shares the story of two sisters who came to Christ. And before they came to Christ, they lived a pretty wild life, a lot of wild parties. And they'd only been Christians a short time when they got an invitation to another one of these parties. And I love the way they responded. They said, "We're so sorry, but we cannot come because we recently died." In other words, they got it. They understood what had happened. They were setting their hearts and minds on things above. Why? Because of something that had already happened to them in the past. They had died with Christ. That's why Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." So that's the first reason why you should set your hearts and your minds on things above. Don't set it down here. You died. I died. You died with Christ. That's the reason from your past. The next one is a reason from your present. Look at the rest of verse 3. "For you died, and your life is now," see, present tense, "your life is now hidden with Christ in God." That's an unusual phrase. Your life is hidden with Christ. So we need to spend a little bit of time unpacking that. What does that mean? Well, it means a couple of things, and they're both wonderful things. The first one that it means is that when your life is hidden with Christ, that means that you are safe and secure because your life is hidden with Christ. Where is your life? It's hidden away. Who's it hidden with? Hidden with Christ. Where's Christ? He's seated at the right hand of God in heaven. There's no safer place where you can be, right? As Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said this. He said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And then he said, my Father, who is greater than all, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. No, when your life is hidden with Christ, no one can snatch you from Jesus' hand, and no one can snatch you from the Father's hand, because they are one hand. Jesus and the Father are one. Because they both hold you in their hands, that means your life, hidden in Christ, is safe and secure. Nothing will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the first sense of this word, hidden. You're safe. You're secure. You're hidden with Christ. But there's a second sense of this word, hidden, and that is more in the sense of a mystery. When something's hidden, there's a mystery around it, isn't there? It's a mystery in that the world does not really understand your relationship with God through Christ. It's like when you die physically, your body's buried in the ground and it's hidden from sight, right? But when you put your faith with Christ, in Christ, and when you die with Christ, you are raised with Christ, you're seated in the heavenly realms, and your life is hidden with Him. And it's not only hidden with Christ. Paul says very specifically, he says, hidden with Christ in God. Now, Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, my prayer is not for my disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. I pray that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What's Jesus saying here? The Father, God the Father, is in Jesus. In Jesus, God the Son is in the Father. And you and I, we are in the Father and the Son. And that's a mystery. And those who do not know Christ cannot possibly understand that. We barely understand it ourselves, right? See, it's a mystery. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so that's the second reason why Paul tells us, set your hearts, your minds on things above. Your life is hidden with Christ. You are safe and secure in Him. Keep your minds there and nothing will rock you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we looked at a reason from our past, a reason in our present, and then Paul follows that up with a reason from the future. Why should you set your hearts and minds on things above? Look at verse 4. Because when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You died with Christ in the past. Your life right now is hidden with Christ in the present. And in the future, you will appear with Christ in glory. What's the story of Christ? Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ ascended into heaven. One day, Christ will return. And on that day, when Christ returns, what was hidden will be revealed. Earlier, Paul said that your life is hidden with Christ. Now he says that Christ actually is your life. Do you see that? Christ, who is your life, the source of your life, the goal of your life, the reason for your life. Jesus told his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. And he said, because I live, you also will live. So as a Christian, Jesus is not only the most important thing in your life, he is your life. That's what Paul says. There's an old Disney movie that I saw as a kid. It's called The World's Greatest Athlete. I don't know if you ever saw it or not. But it begins. It begins with a coach in the locker room with his players. And it's baseball season. He's holding a baseball in his hand. And he says, men, baseball is my life. And then he starts off in this big motivational and inspirational speech. He gets them all excited and sends them out into the game. Then it fast forwards to football season. Same coach, same locker room, same players, different uniforms. Coach is holding football this time. He says, men, football is my life. And he gives this big old motivational speech, sends them out to the game again. And then it fast forwards again. It's basketball season. And he's walking, bouncing the basketball, and he holds it in his hands, and he goes, men, basketball is my life. And then he gives them the big speech, sends them out again. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is your life? What is most important to you? Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If Paul had been the coach in the locker room, it wouldn't matter what the season was. He would say, "Men, Jesus Christ is my life." Amen. And if you are a Christian, Christ is your life, and because he is your life, he is also your hope. And that's why Paul says, when Christ appears, you will appear with him in glory. This is the hope and the destiny of every believer. Just as every eye will see Christ when he returns, so every eye will see you with him. And what was hidden, what is hidden in Christ right now, what is hidden will be revealed. And those who laughed at you or mocked you for being a Christian will see the reality of your faith at last. And your faith will be vindicated before the entire world. So don't worry this morning about being on the wrong side of history. Worry about being on the wrong side of eternity. We read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John writes, "Dear friends, now we are children of God." That's what we are right now. "And what we will be has not yet been made known." There's a mystery, right? Because we're hidden. "But we know that when he appears," when Christ returns, "we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We will be transformed. We will be glorified with Christ." 2 Thessalonians 1:10 talks about the day that Christ comes to be glorified in his holy people. It all happens together. We're talking glory here, folks. God will take a bunch of ragtag sinners like you and me, and he will glorify us with Christ. When Christ is revealed in glory, you will be revealed with him. Your life is totally bound up with Christ. Remember, you are united with Christ by faith. We said what that means is simply this: what happens to Christ happens to you. Christ died, that means you died with him. Christ rose again, you were raised with him. Christ will appear in glory, you will appear in glory with him. So you are united with Christ not only in his death, burial, and resurrection, but also in his ascension and in his return. It's all about Jesus. We are called to live the Christ-centered life. And that means putting Christ at the center rather than the earthly things, the things of this world. So don't look forward, don't look backward, don't look down, don't look around. Look up. Look up. As a Christian, you have a new direction in life. Set your hearts on things above. As a Christian, you have a new focus. Set your mind on things above. As a Christian, you have a new authority. You have been raised with Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. And as a Christian, you have a new destiny and hope. When Christ appears, you will appear with him. And so my final question to you this morning is simply this: are you with Christ? Are you with Christ? Because Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." But when you put your faith in Christ, you are united with him by faith, and you are with Christ all the way. And the aspect we've especially focused on today is you have been raised with Christ. And so if you're feeling down this morning, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling defeated, look up. Set your hearts and minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not the earthly things. Amen? Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this precious word. We need this morning. It's so easy for us to get caught up with the things around us. Different seasons of life. I know some of us are in a difficult season right now. Lord, whatever the season, may we say, "Jesus Christ is my life." May we keep you at the center, Lord. May we trust this word that tells us that we have been raised with you, Lord Jesus, raised from the dead of our sins, power over sin and Satan, power to live a new life. not only raised as far as resurrection, but raised to the heavenlies. We're sitting there with you, God. I don't understand that, but I believe it because you've said it. Lord, help us to live our life from above and not from below. Help us to live with the power that you give us through Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen.